that's right at the beginning of your Bible. So that's Exodus chapter 40, verses 34. Are we all there? Right. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now at Leviticus, the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock." This is the word of the Lord. I'll now ask Tim to come up. Hi, Tim. Don't be too frightened, brother. For those who don't know Tim, he has come here before. I don't think I was here, but Tim's from All Nations, which is in Perth, and I've heard good reports of All Nations working with Simon Van Bruchen, and I think you preach in the afternoon.
That's right.
Well, let me pray for you, Tim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tim coming to share God's word. We pray you'll give him clarity of thought, help him to by the Holy Spirit, and help us to have not just ears to hear, but hearts to receive what he has to tell us and to put into practice what we hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be with you again, and it's great to open up God's Word together. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to keep them open to the end of Exodus and the beginning of Leviticus. But let me ask you, have you ever tried to read Leviticus? Leviticus is a hard book. Leviticus is a confusing book. Notice when Tony met that person at the gym, he didn't recommend Leviticus as the first book they go to. In fact, Leviticus is where most Bible reading plans start to fall apart. We start reading the Bible in Genesis, and Genesis is full of all of these interesting stories. And then we keep reading the Bible in Exodus, and the plagues and the Passover and the Red Sea are really exciting. And then we get to Leviticus. And after a few chapters of sacrifices and blood, we just kind of give up. It's just too hard, it's just too foreign, it's just too confusing. If we're perfectly honest, it just seems so irrelevant to our lives today. I mean, why do we need to know about all these different kinds of sacrifices? Why should we care about clean and unclean animals? Most of us are going to work tomorrow morning, or we have family to take care of. Maybe we're starting a new school year, so we want something really practical. What can a book named Leviticus possibly teach us? How can this confusing Old Testament book of Leviticus help us today? Well, this morning we're going to look at the book of Leviticus together. At All Nations, we're starting a sermon series in Leviticus, and I want to share just a little bit of that with you this morning. I want to help us to see a little bit of the big picture of this confusing book. And believe it or not, the more that I've studied Leviticus, the more excited I've become. The more I've studied this book, the more I've realized how incredibly practical it really is. Because Leviticus actually answers one of the most important, one of the deepest questions that any of us can ever ask. So what is that question? What makes Leviticus so exciting? three points today. First, the Holy Lord. The Holy Lord, Exodus chapter 40. You may know the focus of Exodus chapter 25 all the way to Exodus chapter 40 is on building the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a tent. You may have noticed when Tony read our passage today, three different times it's called the tent of meeting. Because the tabernacle was this big tent right in the middle of the camp of Israel. And the tabernacle was meant to be this kind of dwelling place for the Lord. That's what tabernacle means. Literally, tabernacle means a dwelling place, a dwelling place for the Holy Lord. And with that in mind, look at your Bibles again and look with me at verses 34 to 40. Look what happens when the Holy Lord comes to dwell in this tent. Verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to go into the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day when it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day and fire by night in the sight of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Here at the very end of Exodus, this tabernacle is finally built. This dwelling place for the Lord is finally completed. And in Exodus chapter 40, the Holy Lord comes and he dwells in this tabernacle in blazing glory. And the Lord's glory means the Lord's weight. It means God's splendor and majesty. The glory of the Lord means the Lord in all his awesome power and holiness. In fact, closely related to this idea of the Lord's glory is the Lord's holiness. We sang about the Holy Lord just a moment ago. And to say that the Lord is holy means that God is completely separate from us. To say that the Lord is holy means that unlike you and me, the Lord is completely pure, completely right, completely free from sin. When we sing that the Lord is holy, we are singing that he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And God's holiness is going to be a major theme in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is going to tell us over and over again, he is the only holy God. And here at the very end of Exodus, when the holy, holy, holy God comes to dwell in this tabernacle, he comes in fire and in cloud. He comes in such blazing glory and holiness that Moses cannot even enter the tent of meeting. That's the first thing we see in this passage. Our glorious God is the Holy Lord. Kids, let me ask you, have you ever seen a massive thunderstorm? Have you ever heard the thunder just go boom, boom, boom? Have you ever witnessed thunder so strong, so loud that it literally shakes the windows in your house? As I'm sure you can tell, I'm not an Aussie. I grew up in America. I grew up in the deep south. And where I come from in America, we don't just get these massive thunderstorms. We get tornadoes. And if you've ever witnessed a tornado, a tornado is a really powerful thing. A tornado is a really scary thing. These powerful tornadoes just snap massive trees completely in half. These powerful tornadoes just pick up a big ute like it's nothing and throw it all the way across the field. These powerful tornadoes completely destroy houses, and all you can see left is the cement slab. The power and the might of those thunderstorms or those tornadoes is an awesome but a scary thing. And friends, what the end of the book of Exodus is telling us is that is a tiny little picture of what our glorious God is really like. Exodus chapter 40 is telling us when our holy, glorious God comes, he comes in blazing fire and thundering cloud. Our holy God comes in such glory and majesty that it is both awesome and terrifying. In fact, just listen to how Hebrews chapter 12 describes God's presence. Listen to how Hebrews chapter 12 describes God coming in the book of Exodus. It says this: a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further words be spoken to them. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear. I tremble with fear." That is the holy Lord we meet in the shadows of Exodus. And brothers and sisters, that is the same holy, glorious Lord who we have gathered to worship today. I think most of us here probably know something about the wonderful love of God. Most of us here probably have experienced something of the incredible forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Most of us know the wonderful comfort that the Holy Spirit brings us, and that is true and right and glorious and biblical. But brothers and sisters, Exodus 40 is telling us we must never, ever forget the holiness and the glory of our God. Our God is so holy, so majestic, so glorious that even the angels cover their eyes and fall to their faces before him. Our God is so holy and so glorious that when the Lord draws near, he comes in blazing fire and thundering cloud. Our God is so powerful that when he comes, his thunder shakes the mountains, his wind fills the tent, his fire shines in blazing glory, and Moses does not dare to draw near. Like the power and the might of a thunderstorm, our God is glorious in power, glorious in might, glorious in holiness. And just like the people of Israel before the holy God, we should tremble in reverence and in awe. Yes, it is a wonderful thing to know the love and the forgiveness of God. But we must never forget our God is the Holy Lord. In fact, friends, I'm convinced one of the reasons that we play around with sin is we have forgotten the holiness of our God. Friends, far too often we play around with pornography, or we play around with greed, or we play around with drugs and alcohol, or we just feed that bitterness and resentment and unforgiving attitude in our hearts. We just play around with sin and we act like it's no big deal. And part of the reason we act like it's no big deal is we have forgotten what Exodus is teaching us. We have forgotten our God is the Holy Lord. We have forgotten our God is a consuming fire. We have forgotten the Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. So brothers and sisters, in those moments of temptation, we need to remember the message of Exodus again. When we're tempted to click on that link on the internet, when we're tempted to scream out in anger at our kids, when we're tempted to gossip about our neighbors or our classmates or our coworkers, we need to remember the loving God who saves us is also the Holy Lord. We need to see these shadows of fire and cloud again, and we need to tremble in godly fear. In fact, that brings us to our second point today, the Holy Lord, but now sinful people. It's our deepest problem. We are sinful people. Verses 34 and 35. Look at your Bibles again and look with me at verses 34 and 35. Verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And look at this, verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and because the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And these two verses actually introduce the main problem that the book of Leviticus is going to address. These two verses remind us our God is the Holy Lord, but we are sinful people. So sinners like us cannot draw near to the Holy God. Moses cannot even enter the tent of meeting. Because if sinners like us dare to approach the glory of the Lord, we will die. We will die. In fact, that is the problem that the entire Bible addresses. That is the deepest problem of human history. That is our deepest problem here today. We are sinners in the sight of a holy God. We deserve to die. So the burning question is this: how can sinners like us dare to approach the holy God? You may know this problem isn't new at the end of Exodus. This problem actually starts all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Do you remember what happened? Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, so God drove them out of the garden. The Lord set these angels, these cherubim, with a flaming sword to guard the way back into his presence. So from Genesis 3 onward, all down to 2026, the question is this: how can sinners like us approach the holy God? In fact, we see that same problem repeated at Mount Sinai. Do you know what happened at Mount Sinai? In Exodus 19 and 20, the Lord came down in fire and glory at the top of Mount Sinai, and then the Holy Lord warned his people. He said, if any of the Israelites even touches the mountain, they will die. Because that's what happens when sinners like us try to approach the holy God. We will die. And we see that same problem in our passage here today. Verse 34, the Holy Lord comes. He dwells in the tabernacle in all his blazing glory. Verse 35, sinful Moses cannot even go in. In fact, look at verse 35 again. And Moses was not able to enter, look at this, the tent of meeting. It was supposed to be a tent of meeting. It was supposed to be a place where human beings can meet with the living God, but because of God's glory and holiness, a sinner like Moses cannot even go in. And friends, that is still our problem here today. Just like Adam, just like Moses, we are all sinners. We have all lied to our parents. We have all cheated on our exams. We have all gossiped about other people. We have all looked at what our neighbor has and wanted it for ourselves. We have played around with sin. We have all sinned. And sinners like us cannot draw near to the holy God. It's like trying to run toward a tornado. You will die. So the question at the very end of Exodus is this: is there any way back into the presence of God? Look, I'm sure all of us here today have lots of questions about what this new year will bring. Kids, young people, some of you are going back to school tomorrow, and I'm sure you're wondering, will my teachers be nice? Will my classes be hard? Will I be able to make new friends? And adults, we're wondering what this year will bring too. What will the interest rates do to my mortgage? Will I even have enough money to get by? Will I get that job that I've been trying for? Will my kids behave? Will that relationship work out? Will my friends or my spouse or my parents be healthy? And of course, those are all really, really important questions. But the most important question is this: how can sinners like us draw near to the holy God? How can sinners like us approach the thunderstorm of God's glory and not be consumed? How can someone as sinful as me possibly meet with the holy God and live? That's the question that Leviticus answers. That's the question that puts all of our other questions into perspective. That's the question that makes this hard, confusing, shadowy book so incredibly relevant for us today. In fact, it's our last point: the holy God, sinful people, and finally, and he called. And he called. Leviticus Chapter 1. It may seem strange to some of you that we're looking at the end of Exodus and the beginning of Leviticus in one sermon. After all, these are two different books, so why are we looking at two books in one sermon? Did any of you wonder that? Well, both Exodus and Leviticus are written by the same human author. Both Exodus and Leviticus are written by Moses. And as you may know, Moses actually wrote a five-volume history. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are five books in Moses' five-volume history. I don't mean to be flippant about this, but maybe this will help. Those five books are kind of like five seasons in one TV series. They're kind of like five seasons in one true history documentary. And the book of Exodus kind of ends on this cliffhanger. I hate it when TV shows do this, but TV shows love to end their season on a cliffhanger. TV shows show you the main character, they're about to die, and before you find out what happens, the season just ends. And then you have to wait like 5 or 6 months for the new season to come out to find out what happens. The season ends on a cliffhanger. And if I can put it this way, the book of Exodus kind of ends on this cliffhanger. The glory of the holy Lord has filled the tent of meeting, but Moses can't go in. Sinful Moses can't meet with the holy God, and that's where the book of Exodus ends. It ends with this cliffhanger. But the good news is we don't need to wait 5 months to find out what happens. In fact, if you have your Bibles open, just turn ahead to the book of Numbers. Numbers comes right after Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers is volume number 4, season number 4 in this true history. And if you have your Bibles, just look with me at Numbers 1, verse 1. Other people have pointed this out. This isn't original to me, but look at Numbers 1, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, listen to this, in the tent of meeting. At the start of the book of Numbers, Moses is actually inside the tent of meeting. Do you see it? At the end of Exodus, at the end of volume 2, he's still outside. But at the beginning of Numbers, at the beginning of volume 4, he's actually inside the tent. So the question is, how did Moses get in? And the answer is the entire book of Leviticus. What comes between Moses being out and Moses being in is this confusing book of Leviticus. So at its heart, this book is answering one big question: how do we get in? How do we get into the presence of a holy God? And look at your Bibles again. Turn back to the start of Leviticus. And look with me at Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. We were out, so how do we get in? Leviticus 1, verse 1 answers, and the Lord called Moses. And the Lord called and invited Moses in. In fact, that is actually the Hebrew title of this book. In English, we call this book Leviticus after the Levites and the priests and the sacrifices. But in Hebrew, this book is actually called, named, and he called. In fact, as strange as it might seem, those three little words sum up the hope of this entire book. We might even say those three little words sum up the good news of the entire Bible. And God called. And God called. You see, Moses stood outside the tent of meeting. Moses could not get in. Moses understood if he walked into the glory cloud on his own, he would die. Moses was out. But what do we read at the very beginning of Leviticus? And God called. And God called and invited Moses into his presence. In fact, look at Leviticus 1, verses 1 and 2 again. And let me read it to you in a kind of literal translation. And the Lord called Moses, and he spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any of you draws near, when you draw near with an offering to the Lord, you shall draw near with your offering. Do you hear it? We could never draw near to the holy God on our own, but God has called and invited us to draw near. Look, this isn't a perfect illustration, but maybe it will help. I have two kids, and sometimes my kids do the wrong thing. So sometimes when they do the wrong thing, I send them to their rooms and I tell them, you have to stay in your rooms until I call you. And until I call them, they're just stuck in their rooms. But as soon as I call them, they come running out of their rooms. As soon as I call them, they come running back into my presence. And it's just a little bit like that here, because we were locked out. Because of our sin, we were locked out of God's presence. We could never climb the ladder to heaven on our own. We would never make it. We would be stuck on the outside forever. But God called us. You see, the only way for sinners like us to approach a holy God is if God takes the initiative and calls us. The only way we can draw near to the holy, glorious Lord is if God invites us in. The only way in is if God himself makes a way. And the hope of Christianity is God has made a way. The beauty of Christianity is that God has called us. God has called us into his presence through Jesus Christ, his Son. The holy, glorious Lord has opened up a way into heaven, and the way is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the reality that all of these shadows in Leviticus are pointing us forward to. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice who died to cover over all of our sins. Jesus is the perfect priest who stands to intercede between us and God. Jesus is the righteous, blameless one who took God's curse on the cross and now brings us the blessing of God's presence. So covered in the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can actually stand in the thundering, glorious presence of the Lord completely unafraid. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we can draw near to God himself. It's the gospel of Leviticus. And God called. And God called us to draw near in Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, I know we all wonder what this year will bring. I know some of you are nervous about a new school year tomorrow. I know all of us wonder what's coming in the months ahead. But brothers and sisters, whatever comes this year, good or bad, we have an unshakable hope. Because we were sinners locked out of God's presence, but our hope now and for all eternity is God has called us. God has called us in through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess before you today, we are such guilty sinners. We have sinned in thought and in word and in action. We have treated our sin lightly and played around with it. And we acknowledge today that you are the holy, glorious Lord. So we simply pray, forgive us for our sins and call us into your presence only in Jesus Christ. May he be the Savior and Lord of all who are here, that we might worship your holy name together. So we ask it through Jesus Christ. Amen.